Canto 28. Eager to search the dense, divine, and green forest, to know it both inside and out, this place through which the new day could be seen, with splendor tempered, while from all about fragrance converged on me, I left the bank without the guidance of a word or sign from Virgil. And with my own will to thank, I made my slow way in a level line across the ground. A sweet, unchanging air fondled my brow, the soft force of a breeze bending the trembling boughs to that point where the mountain's shadow first falls. At their ease, the boughs were swayed, and still remained upright enough for all the little birds to sing out of the treetops where they spend the night, and now turned their fine arts to welcoming the morning hours, ecstatic in the leaves which gave an undertone to their sweet rhymes, as near Ravenna the sirocco cleaves the air. One of the winds in ancient times, locked up by Aeolus and the pine wood, murmurs from branch to branch. Slow steps by then had brought me from the place where I first stood to enter, so far through the trees that when I looked back I could not see whence I came. But now my further progress was cut short by a small stream whose tiny waves made game to bend the grass that hedged its lively sport leftward. And all the waters that win fame here in the world for purity would seem defiled compared to this. Though it flows dark in the perpetual shade, where not a gleam of moon or blaze of sun may light a spark below the surface, yet it can conceal nothing. My feet stopped there, while my sight passed over the stream, drawn forth by the appeal of freshly flowering branches in their vast variety. I saw that scene reveal, as suddenly as when a thing for awe drives out our thoughts, a lady, all alone, who sang and picked the flowers that lay before as she went on her way, her lilting tone matching the lightness of the petals. Pray, fair lady, by love's fondling beams made warm, if I am to believe what your looks say, must be your heart's exalted inward form, come nearer to the stream, so that I may hear what you sing. For you make me recall Proserpine, when she plucked flowers too, and Pluto took her, scattering them all. Her mother lost her, and she lost the new glory that comes each year. With the slight fall of quick foot, when the dancing woman turns with feet together, neither one advanced by more than just a touch. And one who learns to do this tells you she has already danced by her ease only. This one turned to me on the red and yellow flowers like a veiled virgin with modest glance, and met my plea with song, approaching so her sweet sound sailed to reach me with its meaning. Then, when she was where the grassy edge was lapped and bathed by the river's lonely waves, she had the grace to lift her eyes to me, and they were swathed in light, poured from her lids to flood her face with such a brilliance that I don't believe Venus herself gave out in her surprise. When Cupid let loose and could not retrieve his accidental arrow as her eyes were on Adonis. While she stood upright on the other bank, she smiled as she arranged her many colors, flowering at that height with no seeds needed. We, too, were estranged by just the distance that the stream was wide, 3 paces only. But the Hellespont, where Xerxes had to cross back with his pride in ruins, and Leander, for his want of hero, had to swim from side to side, from Sestos to Abydos, never got more hatred than this pretty trickle earned from me, who wished it gone, but it was not. "You're new here. There are things you haven't learned," she said. "And it's perhaps because I smile in this place set apart for humankind to be its nest, you nurse your doubts a while. And there are clouds that linger in your mind. But Delectasti is the psalm you should remember. Lord, your work has made me glad, and I will triumph. Those words understood aright, for any qualms you ever had, will clear the mist with light. Now you are near before me, and are making your request. So tell me if there's more that you would hear, I'll set your curiosity at rest. This water and the branches, how they sound," I said, "fly in the face of what I heard from Statius, how this higher ground can never change." And she, "Because the word and fact seem different things, you marvel. How this came to be, proceeding from its cause, I can unravel for you here and now. The good supreme, the grand sum of whose laws is his own pleasure, made man good, and made man love the good, and gave him this good place, the earthly paradise. Man could have stayed in peace here always. Such was not the case. Through his own fault his stay was only brief, and honest laughter and sweet sport gave way to tears, hard labor, and abiding grief, that the disturbances which, night and day, the exhalations of the sea and land make there below, following where they may, as students of those matters understand the ebb and flow of heat, should do no harm to man, the mountain rose aloft thus far, to stand clear from the banished, and be calm. But since the outer spheres revolving are moved by the primum mobile, that first rotation, unless interrupted, strikes on this height, all impurities dispersed from its surrounding air, and as it likes, it does. It makes the wood, for being dense, resound. The smitten plants have such a potency, the air with their intense virtue is impregnated at a touch. And so the wind must scatter it abroad, and so the northern hemisphere, as both its fit self and its proper sky accord, brings forth from diverse virtues different growth. This understood, small marvel would it seem down yonder if some plant, no seed on show, should take root. In accordance with that theme, this holy ground has every seed you know filling the soil, and fruits that are not picked back there. This water springs forth from no vein restored by vapor that the harshly strict cold has condensed, as earthly rivers gain and lose their force, but from a constant, sure fountain it comes, and what pours forth like rain by God's will must return to fill a store open on either side. Thus virtue flows down one side. So when men are bathed with it, their very memory of sin all goes. And on the other side, the opposite occurs, and memories of their good deeds return. The stream on this side bears the name of Lethe, on that you know. It needs first to be sipped at from both sides the same to be effective, and there is no taste sweeter than this. And though your thirst may well be satisfied by this outline I've traced, there's something more that I feel bound to tell just for your joy. And though these words may go beyond my brief, I think you'll find they meet your approbation. Those old names you know, who once sang of a golden age replete with happiness, perhaps exulted so because they dreamed of this place. On their peak, Parnassus, their minds filled with this one. Spring eternal, human innocence. All speak of just such fruit, nectar in everything. Ovid himself said all this would come true. She paused. Right then I turned around to my two poets, and I saw what they could do instead of speech. They smiled, and she was why. Then once again the fair one caught my eye.